Hello, and welcome back to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
You're not?
No, I am not, but he is my favorite conservative.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So
this is a wonderful day. This is May the 12th.
Yes.
We are filming, or we're actually live here. On Sunday, Mother's Day.
Yes, it is Mother's Day.
So we wanted a shout out to all the great mothers out there. And I have to say, I never realized growing up how many people didn't have a good relationship with their mother. And
one sitting here
next to me, yeah, I have been blessed. My mother is going to be 90 years old in a couple of months. And to say that she could run circles around Joe Biden is not an overstatement
at
all.
It's not. No.
Yeah, she's incredibly sharp. And so happy Mother's Day to my mother and all the mothers out there. Andrea, happy Mother's Day to you. Just for the people out there who don't know your story, Andrea actually got custody of her, she 8 years old at the time?
She was eight.
Eight-year-old sister. When Andrea was 22 years old, had just graduated from college, her mother didn't want to be a mother anymore. And Andrea took over raising her sister, Adrian, for the next, I guess, 7 years until, unfortunately, Adrian died of liver cancer. And
she was 15.
15 years old. And you were, what, 29 at the time?
I turned 29.
Yeah. So just amazing what you gave to her and how selfless. So. Happy Mother's Day.
You're making me cry at the beginning of the show. He's making me cry. Oh, my God. Thank you. That's very, very sweet.
All right.
Okay. Now that I'm all teary-ed up. all right. So this is the season three, March to the election. We're going to start each show from now until the election with the latest polling. So let's get right to it. So in the Real Clear Politics national average, Trump versus Biden, last week, Trump was up 1.5. He dropped a tiny bit. He's still up, but now it's down to 1.2. So again, that is the average across all polls. Edward, tell us about the battleground states.
I will, but first, I am shocked that that number is only 1.2.
It's just, I know, right? Given what's going on this week.
The way I look at this election is, good Lord, if you cannot beat a Joe Biden with the absolute travesty that he's put this country through.
Well, we're going to get into that.
Yeah, it's just, you'll never win an election, Republican. So let's go to the battleground state, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So in Pennsylvania, very important state. Last week, Trump was up one. He is now up 1.8. So that's a significant jump there for him.
Yep.
In North Carolina, I think Trump's going to win that. He was up 5.4 last week. He continues to be up the same amount.
So that's a push.
Push. Yep. Georgia is the same. He was up 3.8 last week. He is up 3.8 this week.
Push.
One of the biggies in Michigan.
That we think is going to be the decider.
Yeah. Michigan, Wisconsin is going to be right there. Obviously, they're right next to each other there. So Trump at 1.2% last week, 1.2% this week. Another push.
Right?
Yep. Wisconsin, last week he was up 1.8. This week he is only up 0.5.
That's significant.
So that's a big drop there. Yeah. In Nevada, Trump was up 4.5 last week. He continues to be up 4.5. And in Arizona, he was up 5 last week. He continues to be up 5. So there's only been a couple of little changes.
I was going to say it's a push in North Carolina, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona.
And you have to remember in Wisconsin, Trump was at last week was at 1.8. He's at 0.5 this week. And you got to remember that the president, Joe Biden, was out there last week promising all kinds of money to the state. Here, vote for me. Let me give you money. Yeah.
But I know also Trump had a rally when he's able to get away from court.
He did. He had a rally of which they're saying between 80 and 100,000. Now, in Trumpian terms, that's probably actually 50 to 60,000.
That's still a lot of people.
But this was in Wildwood, New Jersey. and
blue.
Yeah, I mean, there are, once you get out of Newark and the bigger cities, it is out. It is more countrified for sure. New Jersey's a beautiful state.
Did you say countrified?
It's countrified. indeed, ma'am. But there are a lot of red voters out there. But to get those kind of numbers, I mean, let's just lowball it and say 50,000 in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. It's crazy.
Could Joe Biden get 50,000 anywhere?
No.
In the deepest blue state, he could not. Not a chance. So that was that's foretelling, hopefully. However, let's look back to 2020.
Okay.
And now,
I have no idea where you're going with this.
I know. But okay. I'm throwing it at you. We had you know, huge Trump rallies, right?
Yeah.
We had, remember those car parades?
Vaguely,
right?
Yes.
There would be 1,000 cars for Trump going down the cities and
there
whatnot.
There was one in Beverly Hills. Yeah.
There, do you remember they also did the flotillas, right? They had like 1,000 boats, you know, cruising
so
up and
point?
Down. The point is, and that one of those was in California, if I recall, and there were like 1,000 boats out there. And by all optics, it looked like Trump was going to cruise, because Biden rallies, they had little circles on the ground and like 10 people showed up.
So, Joe, what's your point?
My point is, even though Trump had 50,000 people at a rally in a blue state, let's not be fooled, because last time the optics were exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And
I
he
see
lost.
What you're saying. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now I get it. Now I know where you were going. Okay. I know where you were going with that.
Took the long route.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. All right. So again, each week we're going to talk about topics that we feel like are going to affect the election. And so today's topic, actually, Edward, what's in store for us today?
Well, we're going to talk about I think the biggest issue that's out there is inflation.
Okay.
Because inflation is a tax on the poor and middle class more than anything. It is by far. So it's probably the biggest driver in this election cycle. And I actually wanted to tackle this because of the interview that Biden gave to Aaron Burnett on CNN this past week. And before we jump into it here, I'm going to give a little background on myself for people that don't know. I spent over 20 years as an institutional bond trader. And what that means is my clients were massive institutions that my job basically is trading fixed income securities with them, but keeping careful, close watch on the economy and every number that came out, because they wanted a big macro picture of where they thought interest rates were going. And to get a macro picture, you got to look at the micro and try to, you know, interpret everything. So inflation obviously was a biggie with CPI and everything else. So we'll get into it from there for sure.
Okay. All right. So back to the interview with Aaron Burnett. We will have a link in the show notes. If you didn't see it, it was quite the doozy. So Aaron Burnett asked Biden about people being concerned about inflation and the high cost of food. And Biden babbled about Snickers bars being smaller. And then he said, and I'm going to give this over to Edward because he's really good at imitations. This might not be his best
this,
one.
I cannot do him sounding. He sounds like he's 100 years old.
Just give it a try.
But
so this is what he said.
He said, I mean, no president's had the run we have had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came into office. 9%. Hello.
I know. No, it wasn't. We got the numbers to back it up.
Yeah, this is about the easiest fact check you could do.
Did she push back?
No, she didn't. And,
that's,
you know, that's one of those typical presidential thing where if you push too hard, they won't come talk to you anymore.
That's
right.
Yeah.
But 9%, really, Mr. Biden, President Biden, we have the receipts.
We do.
Right.
I know.
And, you know, I was actually reading a great article on a website called Issues and Insights. They write some great editorials, and they were asking, the question was, is this Biden's supermarket scanner moment?
This interview.
This interview,
okay,
yes.
So for people who are younger, tell them what they meant by the supermarket scanner
the
moment.
The supermarket scanner. 1992. George H.W. Bush running against Bill Clinton, right? And he was, you know, he was coming off of an 80% approval rating after the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was huge. Yeah. But he actually, H.W. Bush was at down in Orlando, Florida at a grocer's convention. And he was actually looking at new technology that was out there. And a lot of times when the president, when the president's out there, there's only one reporter that actually goes with them into the event.
Sure.
And they report it out to the pool of reporters that are out there. And so this one reporter wrote up that when H.W. Bush looked at this new scanner that had come out at a checkout counter kind of thing, that not only scanned and inventoried what you were buying, but also weighed it too. And this was new technology at the time. The writer, the journalist wrote that he was amazed that, how much technology had progressed.
Yeah.
Well, the New York Times took that word amazed and made this a front page story to make it look like H.W. Bush was completely out of touch with the voters, that this new technology that had been around for 15 or 20 years, but had been upgraded, they didn't mention that. And that's what they were talking about. So the New York Times completely had an agenda. And to this day, if you mention people, they remember a supermarket scanner moment was Bush being out of touch.
And so do you think that this could potentially be,
well,
that Biden is that out of touch with people?
Yeah, I think it is, because not only just of this quote of lying about this, but by the way, the New York Times did a fact check on this interview with CNN.
Yeah.
And they said it was a 19-minute interview with 17 lies.
Ooh, so, wait, say that one more time. That was good.
19-minute interview with 17 lies. Okay. And not coming from, adverse
right
networks. Yes.
Well, I think it's going to be really important. We're going to look at inflation by presidents from best to worst. And remember, the Federal Reserve has an inflation target rate of 2%.
Correct.
So that's good to know. And these are not in order, in presidential order. Again, this is from best to worst. And we are going to have the average that throughout that presidency. Mm-hmm. And then in some cases, we actually have the handoff percentage. So what it was when that person was coming into office.
Yeah, correct? And we'll go slowly on this, but this is going to be from Eisenhower to today, because that's when Eisenhower started. That's when we kind of had the general statistics that are all the same from Eisenhower forward. Before that, they graded inflation or rated inflation a little bit differently. So that's why they have it like
this. So who had, let's from best to worst, who had the best average inflation rate?
Well, he didn't serve a full term, obviously. JFK, he served what? 2.5 years or so, something like that, almost 3 years.
Yeah.
He was the best at 1.1%. His average over his term, 1.1%. Pretty impressive.
Yes.
Yes.
Next up, we have Eisenhower, and his average inflation rate was 1.4%.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, impressive. Yeah.
All right.
Next, do you want to lead into it? Or
you go the next
one. That would be Barack Obama. Also at 1.4%.
Tied with Eisenhower.
Yeah. So, and by the way, those two are over 8 years, both of those.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good point.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive.
Yes.
And notice we have different parties here too. So I think that's what's really interesting. Trump, the average was 1.9%, but we do have an additional number for him. When he handed off the presidency to President Biden, it was 1.4%.
You mean not 9?
It was not 9.
Oh, yeah. Actually, 9% didn't hit till a year and a half later. So any way that he could try to shift blame to Trump for that,
he can't.
Is ridiculous.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So who was after Trump?
That would be William Jefferson Clinton.
Okay.
He was at 2.6%.
Yes. And
yeah, Clinton, he had kind of a boring presidency. He really didn't. I mean, besides the
not personally,
well, besides the personal stuff, there weren't any wars. There was, there really was kind of, there was.
It was a good time.
It was fights over health care and that kind of stuff. But yeah, all domestic issues.
LBJ, Lyndon, I always forget.
Baines
Johnson. Thank you. Tied with Clinton at 2.6% average inflation rate.
Yep. And then there was George W. Bush was next at 2.8%. Again, impressive. That's over two terms. And I will say, when he handed off the presidency to Obama, now remember, Obama was 1.4%. Bush handed over the economy at a 0.1%. Okay, so it was...
When you say economy, I just want to clarify, well,
the inflation rate was 0.1%. And in fact, for almost the first year of Obama's presidency, we were in deflation. We actually had a negative number. So that kind of...
It corrected itself.
Yeah, a little bit.
It did. Next, after W, we have his father, H.W. Bush. Got a big jump here. The average inflation during his one term was 4.3%.
Yeah. Yep. After that was Bush's predecessor, actually, Ronald Reagan, over his eight years was 4.6%. However, what he inherited from Jimmy Carter.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. Well, jumping up front here is 11.8%. So he took, when he, you know, took over the economy, okay, it was 11.8%. He got it down to an average of 4.6%.
Okay. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Nixon, I'm going to do these two back to back.
Let her in.
Nixon, 5.7%, served not quite two terms, right? Not quite.
Yes, yes.
And then Biden, the average so far is 5.7%. But again, as a reminder, when Biden came into office, it was actually at 1.4.
Great.
All right, you continue, please.
In our next to last winner here is, yeah, or loser,
I don't know if you're a winner, yeah,
is Gerald Ford at 8%.
Yes.
Yes.
And then go ahead and give us the last one.
Well, we all know it's Jimmy Carter, yep, at 9.9%. And he actually had a high of 21.98%.
Woo!
Now, what jumps out at me at this list is the last three, take Biden, you know, he was in there, but we can take him out of it for now. But the last three, the worst three on this were Nixon, Ford, and Carter. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was basically the entire 1970s.
Yeah, it was.
The 70s sucked. Okay. Yeah. I went through the
70s. He lived through the 70s.
Yeah, I was 10 to 20 years old in the 70s. But yeah, I mean, the entire 70s was just, you know,
the fashion was not great either.
It wasn't. It was not either. In fact, Ford had his motto was they had win pins, whip inflation now.
Oh, God. You know?
Oh, yeah. That was. Oh, goodness. So, yeah, that was that was kind of crazy.
Yeah. So Biden is bragging on CNN that inflation is now only 3.5%. But that's 2.5 times higher. Sorry, got to say that again. That's 2.5 times higher than when he took office. So it's all relative, guys, yeah, right? It's all about the context of things. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And how we got to from 1.4 to 18 months later of 9.3 or 9.1, something like that. I forget what the actual number was. Basically was because of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
If you got to remember, right, we were coming out of COVID.
Yep.
The economy was cranking and it, you know, Trump had it rocking and rolling, got in, handed it over to Biden. Trump had put in a gazillion dollars into the economy for, yep, COVID relief and everything else.
No, and we're not saying that was a good thing.
No, yep, not at all. So the economy already had tons of money in it.
Yes.
And remember, you know, the only thing that can cause inflation is government. Repeat that. The only thing that causes inflation is government by putting too much money into the system. Yeah. That's it. Now, yet a private industry cannot cause inflation. So when we put that money in, then Biden says, all right, we need the Green New Deal of another close to $1 trillion. And yeah, he couldn't get it passed because Joe Manchin, from West Virginia, the senator, Democrat, was holding out because it eviscerated the coal industry, which is basically, yeah, all what West Virginia is.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They changed the name to the Inflation Reduction Act, which was the old new Green Deal.
Yeah. Right?
And that sounds really good, doesn't it? Yeah. And they gave some, you know, handouts to Manchin and he voted for it. So we added an extra $1 trillion into the economy. And that's when inflation just hit the roof.
Yeah. And I'm just going to add here that this is another example of good intentions, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I have personally seen the impact on my business and the people we work with, what those companies have had to do to comply with the IRA, with the Inflation Reduction Act, and how it's changed how they fund organizations, patient advocacy groups. And it's, you know, it just seemed like in theory, I mean, it has a great name. I mean, kudos to whoever came up with the name, but it had the exact reverse effect.
Yeah,
it really did. So let's have some fun now.
Okay.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the name of this website that we will put in the show notes.
Yeah, there's a new website that came up recently, and it's a website called BidenMart.com. So Biden-Mart.com, kind of a Walmart takeoff, right?
Yep.
So it's a website where you can compare the price of groceries from January 2021, when Biden took office,
yep,
to January 2024. So these are pretty current numbers, yes, on that. So.
And for transparency, it is paid for by the Make America Great Again PAC. You know, not Trump's personal funds or anything, but it is paid for by this PAC.
Yep.
But it is fascinating. And we do have another computer here, so we're going to have a little fun. And I just want to add on a personal note. I mean, we have seen this, and we have two adults in this house, children, yeah, and two fur babies, as people like to call them. And we have seen, once a month, we tend to go to Costco,
yep,
once a month. We have seen our grocery bill. So I'm not talking about buying for our pets or for me, buying for beauty or anything like that. We've seen our grocery bill go up $100 on our monthly Costco trip, $100. Like, and we have stopped buying certain foods because of this. So let's start with that.
All right.
All right, Edward, we do not buy hamburger meat anymore.
Can you
tell us how much that has increased?
So 2 pounds of ground beef when Biden took office was $6.18.
Get average across the nation. Yep.
It's now $10.26, which is a 66% increase. And the reason I like this website so much is when people out there tell you, well, inflation, granted over the 2 year or 3 years that he's been in office now, is just about 20%. Well, it might be, but it's not for food. Food has gone through the roof.
And it hasn't gone back down.
And guess what? Everybody buys food.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yes. A lot of things that are in an inflation number, people don't buy.
Yes. Let's do another one.
Okay.
One that was in the news a lot, eggs.
Eggs.
Now, we are very fortunate that we have a neighbor who has chickens. So most of the time, true, we get fresh eggs.
All right.
But if we had to buy eggs.
There we go. Here's eggs.
12-pack of eggs.
12-pack of eggs when Biden took office, $2.12. Today, $2.88, which is a 35, almost 36% increase.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And I think it's even more than that in bigger cities and stuff, depending on where you live. For sure.
Let's pick some fruit because I've definitely noticed the cost of produce.
Have you? Okay. What do you want to look at? Oranges.
Oranges
was $3.20. It's now $4.74, which is a 48% increase.
Okay. Let's do two more. Let's do coffee. A lot of people drink coffee.
Where's our coffee?
Coffee's right there at the bottom.
Right here.
Per pound.
Okay. Per pound. It was $4.59. It's now $6.12, up 33 1/3%.
And let's do Joe Biden's favorite.
Well, let's look at milk, right?
First. Oh, okay.
Everybody buys milk.
Okay.
Yes, we've gone from $2.16 to $3.19, which is a 47% increase.
And that's a gallon, right?
Per gallon.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So last but not least,
let's finish up with
Joe Biden's favorite. This is ice cream anywhere from 48 to 64 ounces. This is all the average.
Yeah. It's $2.73 when he took office. It's now $4.27, which is a 56% increase.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Every one of these things, I think the minimum something's gone up is like close to 30%.
It's the minimum. Yeah. It's crazy. And I mean, we've seen this, and I'm glad you pointed out that everybody has to buy food, but we do have two pets, and we've seen this with pet food.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
The price of pet food has gone up a good 33% or so. It's crazy.
And you got to remember in that interview with
Aaron,
you know, he tried to use the Snickers bars, right?
Yeah.
He tried to say that what the problem is that manufacturers are now making their things smaller or not filling as many chips in a bag and whatnot. And
well, that's kind of, they're trying to offset the cost.
But he called it greed.
Oh.
It's greed. Now, supermarkets work on like a 1% or 2% margin. I mean, they are incredibly thin. So nobody's buying it, Mr. President.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Talk to us a little bit about, and if you want to see this amazing chart, we'll have it in the show notes. Yeah. It is awesome. Talk to us about what McDonald's is trying to do now.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, recently McDonald's and Wendy's and all these other fast food places, they're actually losing customers because, you know, people are saying we can't spend $18 per meal at a fast food joint. Right. You know, it's become, unfortunately, fast food is now a luxury item, which is ridiculous. Yeah. So McDonald's announced this just the other day that they are going to try to lure customers back with a $5 meal. Now, they didn't say
what's in the $5 meal.
So
I'm thinking two French fries.
They might go three.
Three French fries. Maybe a quarter of burger, like a quarter. Like a little slider. It'll be like a slider, okay. Like a tiny little slider.
Yeah. Right. Maybe you'll have this big bun with this little thing inside of it. Yeah.
Three French fries.
Right. One pickle, right?
And well,
we gotta cut down on pickles.
I don't even know if we'll get a pickle. Yeah.
So, I mean, what can they do for $5, right?
I don't know.
When inflation is low and you're at the grocery store, you see items that say 30% more, you know, in your bag or whatever, things like that, like for chips and things like that. You see manufacturers trying to increase their value to people to get them to choose it. And now they're having to shrink it because they don't want to raise the price because they realize that people are getting hammered. So they just, you know, cut down the portions, if you will, which it's not a bad thing. We could go with down the obesity road, but we won't.
We won't. Not today. So we're done with inflation for now?
For now, we are done. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to go back to one of our favorite segments. We don't do it all the time because sometimes it's hard. It's called This Week in Wins. And I was so excited about this story. I feel like it's very evergreen.
Wait, explain what wins means for people that haven't heard.
Oh, it means good shit that's happened.
Okay, it's a win.
It's a win
for the good guys.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a win for everyone. Gotcha. So this is from our friends at WashingtonPost.com. Students can't get off their phones and schools have had enough. And we will put a link to this in the show notes. And I'm going to give just a bit of a background. So I was a teacher, eventually became a teacher to be on my sister's schedule. As Edward mentioned, the top of the show, I raised her. And so I was teaching in multiple school districts, ultimately ended up in Burbank, which has one of the best school districts in Southern California. And this was right around, this was like the mid-2000s. This was right around the time when occasionally kids would bring cell phones to school. At this point, most parents were not giving their kids cell phones. Yeah. Thank God. But I will never forget, and this was one of the many reasons I quit teaching. I will never forget, I had this kid. He was huge. He was 13. He was already close to 6 feet tall. And his mother let him bring his cell phone to school. We had a no cell phone policy. As teachers, our job was to confiscate that cell phone. So I took it away from him. And he stood by the door to my classroom, and I was on the opposite end of the classroom, and blocked the door and would not let students come in for the next class. And he was very threatening. I'm 5'2", 2.5 tops. And okay, hey, I am. And the phone to call security, unfortunately, was by the door, by him. And luckily, enough students were in the hallway, saw what was going on, and they went and got security. And security took him away. And I had this kid not only in my class, but in my homeroom. So I saw him 3 times a day. And this was toward the end of the school year. And I was like, I'm done. I don't need to be threatened by a 13-year-old who's that big and whose mother allowed him to bring a cell phone to school. So I love this story. Would you read the beginning of it, Edward, and then I'll jump in?
Well, I will say that you were lucky the kid didn't body slam you, because that's what they do now.
Oh,
And they wouldn't face any consequences. So.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how teachers do it, really.
So let's go to the article, shall we? Yeah. It says, when students returned to school during the pandemic, educators quickly saw a change in their cell phone habits.
Shocking.
More than ever, they were glued to the devices during class, posting on social media, searching YouTube, texting friends. You want to keep going?
This year, schools in, and yeah, shout out to these schools in Ohio, Colorado, Maryland, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Virginia, California, and others banned the devices in class to curb student obsession, learning disruption, disciplinary incidents, and mental health worries. So this was for the good of students.
Yeah. Amen.
So talk about how they went a little further with it.
It says school districts went a step further, expanding to the high school level. Woo! There, students slipped their phones into locking yonder pouches that they carry with them all day, and they can open by tapping it against the magnetic device as they leave. So these things are actually pretty cool. These are yonder. So it's a pouch that you put your phone in, mm-hmm. you close it. It has a magnetic lock that you can't open until you're leaving, but they at least get to keep their phone with them.
Yep.
They don't have to put it in their locker or anything like that. And I think it's probably soundproof too, or something, or it muffles the sound of a phone ringing or anything like
that. But the point is, once they put it in there, they have no ability to use it until mm-hmm. the end of the day. And the school controls when it locks and unlocks.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. So Principal Megan Wapner rolled out the pouches at her K-8 school in Philadelphia this year for students in 4th to 8th grade. I taught 7th grade. And she said now she sees children talk to one another at lunch rather than texting or scrolling. And here's the thing, if a parent needs to reach a student during school hours, very rare, by the way, the school staff promptly relays the messages, she said. So, I mean, can we just please, all the parents out there, well, Edward's a parent. I was a parent. I mean, do you not remember a time when cell phones didn't exist and you had to call the school? Come on.
I think what's sad to me about that last paragraph is that she rolled out the pouches at her K-8 school where students in the 4th to 8th grade. You're a 4th grader. You don't need a phone.
No, okay? You don't.
I'm sorry.
You absolutely don't need a phone.
How old are you in 4th grade? Like 9?
9. You're 9. You don't need a phone.
Good Lord, people. So yeah, but they in the article, they also had quotes from students that, you know, at first, a lot of students, they do the old let's protest kind of thing. Yeah. And they got shouted down or whatever by the administration. Thank goodness for that. And a lot of students are now saying, you know what? It's actually nice. We're talking to each other more. And, you know, I know a lot of college teachers, too, you know, would love to do this because, you know, they say they walk into their, you know, huge auditoriums and nobody's looking at them. Yeah. Nobody. Yeah. So,
yeah, I just want to jump in. It just made me think of it. Last month, I was doing an event in Nashville and went out to dinner at this very nice restaurant. And when you walked into the restaurant, they had a huge sign. We don't allow cell phones here. Keep them in your bag, pocket, purse, whatever. You cannot have a cell phone on the, and this was not like a super high end restaurant, but it was nice. Mm-hmm. And if they see a cell phone on the table, they will ask you to leave the restaurant. I asked the waiter about it because I thought it was so fascinating. It was great.
Yeah. It's their business. They can run it how they want. They're not discriminating. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's an aggrieved group yet. Right.
Well, we're going to get to the aggrieved groups here. All right,
that's true.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So our regular segment, the one we always have, This Week in Woke. Tell us about it, Edward.
Yeah, this is from our friends at the Libs of TikTok. And this is actually via Washington University. And
in St. Louis.
St. Louis Mo. It's a very, very good school.
It is, yeah.
So this is from their curriculum for students getting degrees for a career as a mental health professional. And it says, many sets of gender inclusive pronouns exist and are commonly used among trans and other communities. Many of these pronouns may be new words to you or may be words that are repurposed.
Yes. So
now, you being a former
English
teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your head going to spin off?
My head is going to explode just as a former English teacher. So here are some examples. And for subject, object, possessive, reflexive, and then an example. And now we're each going to do one.
So, okay.
So subject, Z.
So,
I don't know. Z-E is what it is.
Spelled Z-E, right.
Object, zir, Z-I-R. Rhymes with sir, but zir. Possessive, zirs. Reflexive, zerself, and an example, Z walks zer dog. Guys, this is such fucking bullshit. I know we're going to get that big explicit warning from Apple, but I mean, seriously, this is making my head explode. Why don't you read the next one, Edward?
Well, it's a little different from Z-E. Now it's Z-I-E, pronounced, I'm guessing, Zi. Zi.
Okay.
The object is her, H-I-R.
We already have that.
Yeah, it's H-E-R, yes. Yeah. And then the possessive is her, hers, H-I-R, H-I-R-S. The reflexive is herself. And the example is Zi walks her dog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it gets even better, though. Let's do one more.
Okay. All right. Let's do this one together. The subject. Sorry. Kat is joining the podcast show again. If you hear a noise in the background, that's what it is. Subject is E-oi.
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 All right. Now, wait a minute. Right there. That's cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
My Jewish friends love the oi vey, so they're stealing the oi.
You're right. They're right.
Chai-chunu.
What is the object?
The object is M. Not the letter M, E-M.
And the possessive?
I'm guessing ear, E-I-R.
Reflexive?
Is ears, E-I-R-S.
An example is
A walks ear dog. Now, can you imagine speaking to somebody saying A walks ear dog?
They would think that you, didn't speak English at all. Yeah.
Well, and what really bothers me about this is, this is an amazing school this is going on at.
Yeah, this is.
And what you're doing at this school is you are teaching these future professionals to buy into these people's mental health disorders. That if you are thinking that you are something other than a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, and you seriously protest and you want people to call you these things, you have a mental problem. And for them to actually promote buying into this is malpractice. It really is.
Well, I want to read this great comment on the post by Jack Salmon, who knows? This is so great. The funny thing is that language finds the path of least resistance. He's right. That's why we say Bob instead of Robert and fridge instead of refrigerator. Humans don't like complicated, and this is worse because it's complicated for no reason.
Yes.
And that is a really perfect way to state it. It's complicated for no reason.
Yeah, there is no reasoning whatsoever. I don't care how you think you identify. You can choose what name somebody to call you. Sure. You can change your name. That's fine.
Yeah, of course.
But pronouns relate to your sex and gender, which are the same things, by the way. They are things. But yeah, you do not get to choose what pronouns are. That is something that needs to be pushed back against. And we need to eliminate this absolute farce of the English language.
And that's why it made the week in woke.
It did indeed.
All right. So we do see you viewing live. We really appreciate you. Thank you for joining us today. Please follow us on social media channels. We are live most Sundays, even on Mother's Day, as you can see, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Available wherever you're listening right now. Remember, when you review the podcast, it helps more people find our show and it allows us to continue doing it. You can also support our show by joining our community. I'm still working on it. I'm sorry it's not up yet. But if you have any thoughts about the community, any ideas, things you would like to see, post-show debates, you can reach out to us at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. You can email us directly right there from our website. You can even leave us a voicemail right there and let us know what you would like to see in the community.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Season 3, episode 3.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.